Okay, so what you have before you is a sefer which I've done, you know, on and off, and I've seen quoted in other Sfarim over the years. And I kind of decided last year, you know what, time has come, I want to see, I don't know if I'll go through the entire sefer, but start going straight and see what we can get from this remarkable sefer. And it's known as the Evan Shlema. I may have mentioned to some of you before that it is based on the thought and the teachings of the Vilna Gaon, but it was not written by the Vilna Gaon. You guys just have the PDFs, but in the what they call the Sharblot, the title page here, you'll see that it says it was written by one of his students of Shmuel Malzin. Then it was subsequently reprinted and it was embellished in a good way by this Rav Malzin's son, Rav Yitzhak Malzin. And as you can see by the page that you have in front of you, and you can, you know, I just Xeroxed the first few pages for you guys. Hashem, you know, every few weeks we can add more packets. You see in the middle, there is the text itself. You know, not exactly like a Gemara because it's not symmetrical like that. But basically, in the middle, you have the text of the Evan Shlema, which, if I understand the history correctly, was written by the father, the direct student of the Vilna Gaon. And these are short, pithy, you know, maxims, aphorisms, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, good advice, Musar Machshava of the Vilna Gaon. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I think the history is that it was the son, when he republished and kind of made this sefer even more famous, what he did was he gave you, and this is what you have around the side called the Kutei Hagra, he gave you actual primary sources of the Vilna Gaon, which are the bases for where his father, in addition to the father just observing the Gra, but this is where the father would have been able to draw from the Gra's Torah, which he distilled and summarized into whatever the pithy part is on top, whether it's the father Dafka distilling it in a conscious way, or just the son saying, this idea that my father quoted up here about X, you can find it, you know, the actual source and where the Gra got it from and why. So the benefit of this is that not only do you get kind of the punchline and the bottom line, as we spoke about it, but like, what could we do practically? How can we make our life better people, more Yerushalayim, better Midos, etc.? But also a little bit of the understanding, a little bit of the Derech HaLimud of the Gra, the style, etc. So the goal will be, you know, to do a little bit of a balance, meaning, of course, we'll start off with and want to understand on a practical level how this relates to us by seeing what it says in the body of the text. But the benefit of this edition is that we always can turn to seeing what the Gra did, you know, with the commentaries of the Gra, with the actual words of the Gra are. You don't have the actual book, but in the book you'd see that there are altogether 11 chapters, and each is very organized. This is also why this is a really good sefer for a kind of a once-a-week limud, because not only are there 11 chapters, but each chapter, as you can see even in the handout that you have, each chapter is then subdivided. So Perek Aleph, you see then point number Aleph, then Bet, then Gimel. Each one is relatively small. Again, if they're in a chapter, so obviously there's a theme to the chapter, but each paragraph stands alone, and that, I think, makes it a particularly good style of sefer for the type of thing that we're doing, which is a weekly chabura. Okay, so without further ado, we want to, at the very least, I hope today, cover Perek Aleph, Si'if Aleph, and I don't know if we'll have a chance to do all of the commentary of the Gra. I'm calling it commentary, it's really the source material from the Gra on the side, maybe a better way, but hopefully at least two, if not three, of the pieces, because I think they're really interesting in their own right and really shed light on the bottom line. So here we go. Aleph, Aleph. So first of all, there's an introduction. What is the opening of this? And this is why, you know, we'll go on for at the very least the first full chapter. The purpose is Yevaer, Kol Darchei Shviras Hamidos, Haraos, B'Deraklau, Shusharash Kol Avodos Hashem, Yisparach. So really two halves to that sentence. Number one is, what's the purpose of chapter one, Perek Aleph? To go through how to break, how to get rid of a person's mad midos, right? Everyone has a combination of good midos and bad midos, and we want to obviously always be enhancing and improving and increasing our good midos, but it's not enough to only do that. We also want to break, as the term is, or remove from ourselves the bad midos. That's, you know, it's nice enough. I wouldn't call that such a chiddush. However, the second half of his statement, which he's going to double down on in the opening paragraph, he's already letting us know that the stakes are quite high in his opinion, and I think it's potentially very debatable, which is what makes this even more exciting, because the Gra is really saying something which is not obvious, and that is, says the Gra, the ability, the necessity, and actually breaking a bad mida, improving oneself, identifying that I'm just going to throw out a typical type of bad mida, I struggle with anger. A person could actually break that mida, improve oneself, free themselves of that, and, you know, mashal echad min an elef, that's just one example, said the Gra, or, you know, the way it's Evan Shlema, that is the shoresh of all avodas Hashem. That's quite a statement. That's an eye-catching statement. It's not just a good thing. That's somewhat of a cliche that would be obvious that that's a good thing. It's not just a very important thing. That's already a little bit of a chiddush. But it says the Gra, midos, and certainly ridding yourself of bad midos, is the foundation of all of avodas Hashem. Now that is something that we really want to understand, because that's obviously a very dramatic statement. Okay, so that's the introduction. Now let's see what it says in Aleph. Kol avodas Hashem, tolui b'tikun amidos, shehem, kamo levush, lemitzvos, uklali ha-Torah. We hadn't read that opening paragraph, we would have been shocked by this sentence. But this sentence is a little less shocking, because we already were shocked 10 seconds ago. But here, the way he puts it is, all of avodas Hashem is dependent on, is riding on, tikkun hamidos, improving our midos. Again, we need to understand why that is, where that comes from, but, you know, he's saying that. A slight nuance difference in the formulation. Here he doesn't specifically focus on breaking bad midos. He says it's tikkun hamidos. Now, does he mean the same thing? Is it just a way, or is that maybe tikkun is a broader point? It would mean working on even the good midos, perhaps, as opposed to just merely breaking the bad midos. But either way, this is the shoresh, the basis of all of avodas Hashem. And now he finishes that thought with a very intriguing metaphor. He describes midos and their relationship to mitzvos. What's the relationship between midos and mitzvos? Right. So, if we had all the time in the world and we were just all kind of crowdsourcing it, who knows what we would have come up with? Very unlikely, I think, what we would come up with, which is what the Gra came up with, which is, he says, that midos are the levush for mitzvos. The clothing. If the mitzvos, it sounds like, are the body, so then the midos are what clothe the mitzvos. Okay, we'll have to think, we're going to dive into that deeper, but that's interesting opening soiree. The klalei ha-Torah. And on some level, they are the klalim, the general principles of the whole Torah. Right? This is, you know, very intriguing now. Furthermore, he says, kol chatoim, all sins, mushrashim b'midos. I think this is also an eye-catching statement. All sins are ultimately rooted in midos. Now, presumably he means bad midos there, but still, is that an obvious... I'm not saying it's obviously wrong, but is that obviously correct? I don't think so. I mean, not to the point that I would have thought of it on my own. Let's just put it that way. I can think of certain averos which are... Give me, what's an example of avera which we could easily then trace back? Oh yeah, that's because you have that bad midah. There's Y, but we could trace it back to X. Give me a good thing of 100
anger.
Examples. Huh?
Anger.
So what did I do? Give me the avera. What did I do?
Rome says anger's already an avera.
Fair enough. So is there a midah that's a shorish of that?
Bad temper.
Okay, or let's just be more clear.
Yelling at someone.
Oh, good. You yelled at someone and you maybe even embarrassed them because of it. That was a bad thing. And you're not a bad person. But why? So why did you do it? So if we would go under the hood, maybe with a little or maybe a lot of research, we would identify that it was mushrash in this larger struggle you have, that you struggle with your temper, right? That's what you mean? I think that was an easy example. But that's, he's saying that, but he's saying much more than that. Right? You know, if you were Mechal Shabbos, Rechmon Alitzan, if you ate treif, you look at something on your phone you're not supposed to be looking at. Right? There's all sorts of avers we could think about. Are those obviously connected to midos? They're connected to taiva, they're connected to maybe peer pressure, depending on the scenario. It's not obvious, and yet he's making the statement. And again, if he's making the statement here, we can assume that now on the side, we're going to see this sourced in the Gra himself. Let's finish the paragraph. He continues, v'hamidos mushrashin ba'arba yisodos. And this is the part that if we have time, we'll discuss, but we'll definitely give it the most short shrift. This is, you know, a very old ancient idea about how there are four yisodos in the world. What are they? Fire, water, I guess what, matter and wind? Wind, yeah, did I get it right? How would you have said it?
Earth
and wind, yeah. Right, okay, exactly.
Only the avatar master of all four of us.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so I don't know if we'll have a chance to go through this, and I don't want to like continue this paragraph into next week. Like, we want to go to bed already. But he does have this idea, which is, you know, quasi-Kabbalistic, but it's also a very philosophical idea in ancient philosophy of these different. And basically, the Groth thinks that you can divide up everything into these four categories. But I think the more relevant part to this pace is the first thing. So everything we saw until then. Again, what do we see? Just to summarize, and then we'll get into the Groth. All of Odes Hashem is dependent on Midos. Big statement. He adds a nuance, which is that the relationship between Midos and Mitzvos, the Midos are the clothes. And then finally, he said something which is not completely radical given what he's already said, but still, it's its own point, which is all sin rooted in Midos. So let's see if we can understand where this is coming from. Where did he get this from? Let's take a look on the left-hand side, Likutei Hagra. These are citations from the Gra himself. And as it so happens, I think if we can get to the first three pieces, that's in Os Aleph and in Bet, because in Os Gimel, he's discussing this whole four Yesodos thing, which I don't think we'll have time for, I doubt. But in Aleph and in Bet, you see on the left-hand side, there's actually three different paragraphs, and they're coming, as you see in the brackets underneath, three different works that we have from the Gra. The Gra was a relatively prolific writer. It's just that he wrote in very succinct in very difficult ways. It's not always easy to understand the Gra on its own, but the Gra has a very influential commentary on Sefer Mishlei, which is the first thing he's going to be quoting from. You see the second one is the Gra has a commentary on Megillas Esther, and the Gra also has a commentary, the third one, on Shir HaShir. Okay? And this statement that we've just read is really built on those three. So let's take a look at the first one. I think the second two are even more interesting, and they're also bigger, but let's just quickly hit the first one. Aleph. Said the Evan Shleima, Kol Avodas Hashem Talui B'Tikun Hamidos. All of Avodas Hashem is dependent on Tikun Hamidos. So where does this come from? So he quotes the Pasuk there from Mishlei, Holech B'Yashro Yarei Hashem. The one who is a Yarei Hashem walks, so to speak, on the straight path. U Loz Derachav Bozehu. Right? And a person who is, you know, so to speak, off the beaten track. So that is a bizayon, that is somehow a denigration of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did the Gra say on that? That relates to what we've seen here. Here's the quote from the Gra. Misha holech derech hayashar yavo lidei yira. Umisha ma'akim derechav yavo levazot Hashem ki hakol talui b'midos. And here we have, to some extent, an introduction to a new metaphor. Going back to, this Aleph is working on you see the words that were already actually in the introductory statement of, there's the concept of a derech. And this pasuk here, there's this idea of a certain derech. Holech b'yashar, you're going on a path. Misha holech b'derech hayashar. A path is identified by an origin and a destination. Right? You can... You know, the ways, or, you know, GPS are a very good metaphor for this, right? You can start off in the right place and, you know, make a wrong turn, and you could eventually get somewhere, right? You'd have to recalculate. Doesn't mean you can't get to the destination, but number one is you're going to take much longer, and it's much more complicated. You're off the path. Secondly, you also might not get to the destination, meaning you're doing everything right. The problem is you're doing it on the wrong highway. Yeah.
Could it be, just back to the beginning here, first line, where it says, Hashem Shoresh Kol, right? Harod B'derech Kol Hashem Shoresh Kol Avot Hashem Yitzbarach. Right, that like controlling, you said that it's like controlling your midot, right? That's like Oved Hashem, but, I mean...
What he said here was breaking, or so to speak, improving, right. Removing bad midos is the Shoresh of Avot Hashem. Okay, we don't understand that 100% yet.
I'm saying it could all be... like one spectrum, right? Like, for example, like, right, like anger and self-control, or like emet and lying, like all the time, and it's all sort of like where you fall in that spectrum, and it's kind of like a mida could be, right, instead of like bad mida and good mida, it's like one
good.
Great
so
where
I
you
think
fall
that
at.
Very much will hint get back to what we're going to say in the second paragraph. When we went to Oz Beis, exactly what you're going to get at the issue of proportion. or balance is exactly what he discusses in Bayes, which is very, very important. And also what you're bringing up, which I think is an important point, which is part of what I think this, and we'll see that in the third piece as well, that we're going to get to, Meretz Hashem, is that what is really forcing us, these kind of over-the-top statements, and we'll see another one from the Gra, which is even not over-the-top, but also would have surprised us, what they're really going to do, and a minimum we'll take that away from today, is it redefines our, what I think our general assumption of what, how you define midos are. Right? If I would ask you to kind of just, you know, jot on a page when I say the word midos, what comes to mind, you'd probably all be writing something very similar. But in light of the things you would have typically written, I think some of the statements that we've seen are a little, seem either surprising, hyperbolic. So what it really means is that we may have a slightly different definition of midos than we should, or that the Gra has. So let's keep on going. So I just want to point out from this little piece, I just think it's interesting, Ha'ara, he's interjecting this idea of a derech, and that midos, in a certain sense, I don't know if it's exactly the same metaphor or works in a different way, but then the clothing metaphor, which we'll get to in a moment, but here he's saying, Misha holech b'derech hayashar, Yavoli de Yireh. Yiras Hashem, getting close to Hashem, being an authentic Jew, if that's Avodas Hashem, if that's the destination. So what's the derech to get there, says the Vilna Gaon, based on that pasuk in Mishlei, the derech, as he says, is taloi in midos. So you're doing all the right things, in the sense of, I put on tefillin and I kept kosher and I kept Shabbos and I know exactly how to tie my shoes or not tie my shoes on Shabbos and I know how to do this or that and which restaurant I can go to, which hashgacha I can go to. All that stuff, I'm driving the car, so to speak, the right way. But if I don't have the right midos, I'm not in the right path. I'm on the wrong highway, and therefore I'm never going to get to the intended destination. Let's take a look, though, at really the intriguing, I think the game changer, really, is this next two paragraphs. Okay? Bet. Shehem levush ha-mitzvos v'klalei ha-Torah. Right? So here's where we have introduction, not only to this grandiose statement, how the key to everything is midos, but also, specifically, the idea of this idea of clothing. The Gra, we said this is, you take a look at the paragraph, the bottom, where is this coming from? Megillas Esther. So what's he going on? Which pasuk? So he quotes, the dover shalom l'chol zaro. Right? We all remember that is from the end of Megillas Esther. Right? And that is like the crescendo, right? The story is relatively over, and Mordechai is the man. You know, Haman has been vanquished, and we describe Mordechai as Dover Shalom L'chol Zaro. What does that mean, Dover Shalom? Says the Vilna Gaon. V'Dover Shalom B'Midos Tovos. It means that the way he related to everybody was B'Midos Tovos. Dover Shalom specifically refers to Midos Tovos. Why? L'fisha Hamidos Tovos Hain Yoser Mikulan. They are the most important thing. There's nothing more important than Midos Tovos. And if this is the pasuk that's describing in Hebrew, the sea, right, the crescendo of Mordechai's career and accomplishment, Shalom, he was Dover Shalom, says the Vilna Gaon, it means that he had good Midos, and because there is nothing more important to that. Now, how does he know? There is nothing more important to this. So here are the Gra quotes, and I think the Gra made this famous. What we're about to see now is famous, and you know in Yeshivish, if you open up your Yeshivish dictionary, the definition of famous, something I know it. Right? Once you know a Rambam, it's the famous Rambam. Even better is if you don't know it, that's really a famous Rambam. Right? This is how Yeshiva guys talk. So there's a famous Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital, one of the Kabbalists of Kabbalists, prime disciple of the Arizal, not that many people, and I'm not one of them, you know, learned, you know, Chaim Vital directly or inside, but every now and then you have him quoted. But he was very, very important, very significant. So he has a very famous sefer called Shari Kedusha. And maybe the most famous part of that sefer, which is now defined as, because we know it, but it's also a very influential thing, is he asks and answers a very famous question that's related to our topic, and the Gra refers to it here. Here the Gra quotes it as kind of an implicit question, but before we see it inside, I'll tell you, what's the question? Asked Rav Chaim Vital, even before the Gra, if midos are so important, and how do I know that? My mother always told me they're important, and my teacher, hopefully we had teachers who emphasize those. How come it's not in the Torah? There's no mitzvos. Which of the 613 mitzvos does have good midos? Look at the Rambam, look at the Sefer HaChinuch. It's not counted. It's not one of the mitzvos. There is no mitzvah called have good midos. Whoa. That's a little bit of a curveball. Especially in light of things we saw already. It's the whole basis of the whole Torah, but it's not even in the Torah. It's the basis of the whole Torah, and it's not even a mitzvah. Those are specific actions that you have to do.
Or you could say, like,
and what Darchei Noam is, what mitzvah is Darchei Noam? Is that one of the 613 mitzvahs? You're from yet.
No, it's not, but it's not.
Okay, it's not. That's the point. That's Chaim Vital's question.
It's inclusive of
Chaim Vital's question is, so what's the answer? So this is a famous answer. Again, you might even have heard it quoted, but it comes from the Chaim. This is the source. Here he quotes it. This is, again, we're still reading in the Gra himself, in Mikael Sester. Why is it that, he says the Gra, I can tell you the Dover Shalom refers to Mordechai having good midos. And that's the crescendo. Shalom nichtevu amidos tovos b'Torah. En echanami, there's no mitzvah called have good midos in the Torah. Kein kolilin kol haTorah. The foundation of the whole Torah is the midos. First, you have to have good midos, and then, the Torah can be poel. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was in context of this Rav Chaim Vital. I think they said that the Brisker of Rav Elville used to say it was the purpose of the Torah of the mitzvos is to make the person into a heilige mensch, a holy person, a tzelem elokim. But before that, you have to be an adam. Midos make you into an adam. Until you're an adam, until you're a human being, there's no purpose. The Torah is supposed to elevate, to make you into an elevated human being. So that's all the mitzvos. But way before that, even more foundational, is midos. In other words, says Rav Chaim Vital, if there would be a mitzvah called mitzvah 247 is have good midos, that wouldn't show how important midos are. That itself would take, it's just one of the mitzvahs. That's not one of the mitzvahs. It's not one of the ways you make yourself into an elevated person. Midos are how you make yourself a person. The Torah was given to human beings. Until if you don't have good midos, you're not a human being. Okay? So, that's the Christian. And he points out, if you look at the Makoros, and emphasize the importance of midos. And then he says, look, he quotes here a few Mara Makomos. The famous Gemara is called Koe, Skila, Ovid, Avodazara, Kalamasapra, Lashon Hara, Hari, Kofa, Be'ikr, V'chulam, right? How come we have all these things which are not technically Averos in many ways, right? There's no Isser called getting angry. Again, you look in the Lotasis of the Rambam, there's no Isser called getting angry. And yet, the Rambam also will quote this Gemara, that if you get angry, it's as if you worship the Vodazara. Now, why is anger so bad? That's not our topic right now. But the point is, you see, a bad midah could be destroying everything, and yet it's not a mitzvah. Because, as Rav Chaim Vital said, they're the foundation of the whole Torah. Now, here, the next point he says is critical. This is similar to what I was getting at to your question a few minutes ago. V'shalom hu, what is shalom? Because remember, it's Dover Shalom, it's about Mordechai. Shalom hu, haklal mikol hamidos, v'halavosh shel kol hamidos. Shalom is not just a midah. I don't know how to get along with people. I'm at peace with you. Shalom is really milashon shlemus. Right? And this is not just like a cutesy little avort. I think it's true. Most of the people I've ever met who couldn't get along with people, it's because they're really just miserable themselves. And so if you can't get along with yourself, so to speak, you can't get along with other people. Shalom, the ability to be b'shalom with people externally, it's from the same shoresh as to be a shalem person. A shalem person in this context means someone who is balanced and who has everything in the proper proportion. He continues. This is so important. He says, and this is what it says in Uksin, the famous thing we end the Shas with, right? L'mota kadosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha liYisrael el ha-shalom. The kli, so to speak, the thing that holds, just like clothing, so to speak, encompasses. The kli that holds everything, nothing better than quote unquote shalom. What does that mean? Says the Gra. Hainu shakli tzarach shel yochol lekabel hakol. This kli has to be able to hold everything, hold all the different good midos. Lo motzah kadosh baruch hu mishiye yochol lekabel el hashalom shu halavush shel kol hamidos bahamidos hem klal shel hamitzos. In other words, what's shalom? What's the midah of shalom? The midah of shalom is proportion. And this really gets to the question which I said before, which is what are midos? If I would have asked you at the beginning of the year, if we had pauses, when your kindergarten teacher or when your mom or whoever said you have to have good midos, you would have ticked off, listed, you'd be nice to people, be menschlich, don't be too loud in public, don't be rude, make sure to say thank you. That's fine. Those are all very, very important things. Don't misunderstand. But that's actually not, midos are disposition. And we'll see it, I'm going to have we still have 4 minutes to go, and I'm going to chaperon. We'll get in the last point in a second, in the next paragraph below that. But midos are a way of relating to things. They don't mean specifically. So the midah called shalom is the ability to have everything in its right proportion. It's to be b'shalom. So yes, sometimes we should have a certain, we should be anxious about certain things. We should be calm about other things. There are times where we need to have all these different midos. Having them in the right proportion. A person who is has a, I don't know, this kind of, you know, sometimes intolerance is good. Intolerance in the face of injustice is a good thing. But an intolerant person is a bad person. Why? Because he doesn't have it in the right proportion. Doesn't know when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate. Right? Too much love? Yeah, that could also be a good thing, right? This is very similar to the Rambam's golden mean. But that's the way the Gra understands what shalom is. It's the ability to have everything in its right proportion. When the Rambam said the golden mean, it wasn't, I'll borrow an analogy I heard from somebody else, right? If, you know, what if being a glutton would be to have four steaks, and to be an ascetic is I didn't eat, it doesn't mean that the Derech Mamutza is to have two steaks every day. Right? That's absurd. It means to have a balanced diet. I'm not a nutritionist, I don't know what that means, and as you can tell, I struggle with that. But it's similar when it comes to midos. It's not saying whatever zero is and whatever 100 is, you have to be 50. It's knowing the right proportion and when to relate to which mida at which time. Knowing that which some people know on their own and some people need to really learn it, that's called being shalem. He points out, I'll just say it in 1 second, and then we'll get to the last paragraph, but that's why in Birkas Kohanim, which Baruch Hashem, I live in Eretz Yisrael. My son, who was in Rosh HaKol this summer, he was talking to Rabbi Willig about something relating to Birkas Kohanim, and Rabbi Willig, before he even answered him, he said, first of all, you should be the expert. You live in Israel, I don't. And then of all, then he says, the fact that we do Birkas Kohanim only 13 times a year in Chutz La'aretz, that's reason enough to make Aliyah. My son was very excited. He called me right from camp just to tell me that, and then Rabbi Willig. Anyway, so Birkas Kohanim, right, there are sets of brachos, right? Two, two, and two. Yivrechecha, v'yishmerecha. Yisham paralecha, v'yichud. And what's the last one? V'yaseim lecha shalom. Says the Gra here again. You can look at it inside. We'll just finish it now. Because shalom is saying all those four brachos holistically, getting a proper proportion, relating to each other. That's what shalom is. Last but not least, he points out, just like the bottom one from Sher Shirim, he talks about midos. This is very, very important. I'm sorry we're rushing, but it's kedai, give me another minute. Midos sheben arm lemakom, or midos ben arm lechavero. Really, maybe we'll start with this again next week. I'll start off with this, but just to get it in now. He says that there's such a thing called midos when it comes to ben arm lemakom. Now, that's already further evidence that maybe we misunderstood the concept of midos, because we always think of midos as something of ben arm lechavero. So what does it mean, ben arum lemakom midos? And it really gets back to what I said before, because midos don't mean be nice or be this or this. Midos are a certain perspective or instinct that we, the way we relate to things. So that also, the question of, you know, am I always out for my own covet, or that affects your relationship with Hashem. When you look at the world, you're resentful that you're not getting yours. Hashem hasn't done. That can relate to your ben al-makom, and also relate to your ben al-chavero. Anyway, I thought we'd have enough time to finish this one. I apologize that we didn't. I'm not sure what to think about it. Maybe we'll pick up with this from next week, and then Namir Tzashem, we will continue on to Beis, which is still about Midos, but this piece is really might be a really, really important point to get in, so I feel bad that I don't want to rush it, and I didn't give you the whole thing, so we'll probably pick up with this Namir Tzashem next week. Okay, Yashikoyach, everybody. Please keep the handouts, although...